When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, it's crossover time. Here we go. We got our Buffalo podcast, the Boston / New England podcast. It's always game day in Buffalo, six rings and football things. Nick Fitzy Stevens joining Matt Bove and me, Sal Capaccio, here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. I got to tell you guys, there was a time where I would have dreaded something like this because the Patriots just kicked the Bills' ass for 20 years, right? I mean, now I'm welcome. Let's go, baby. Bring it on. Nick, here's the reality, okay? It was 20 years. Now it's been, about 4 years of Bills' dominance? You still have 16 years to five. Okay, let's do it for another 15 years. No tears on this side, pal.
No, listen, guys, I full well understand that I have been brought aboard here today to be choke slammed through a table, lit on fire, covered in hot sauce, and then fed nothing but tears and fire and fireball and Labatt's Blue. That's fine. You guys deserve it because for 20 years, Brady and Belichick were the older brother that stuffed you guys into the corner of the sofa and sat on your head while they ate Fritos and made fun of you. And then eventually you guys muscled up and kicked big brother off of you. And now you guys are just giving us a 20-year noogie, and it's 5 years in. And I got to say, if that's the penance we have to pay for the run that we had with the 9 Super Bowls and the 6 rings, I'll do it. I am here for all of your slings and arrows right now. I understand. It's all good. Please.
But here's
show no mercy.
But here's the thing, Fitzy. Six rings in football things is the name of your podcast. Mm-hmm. Bills fans want one. They would be completely satisfied with literally one. You can have the other five. If Bills fans get one Super Bowl, that is all they want. And then they will be talking like everybody in New England talked like for those 20 years with just one. That's all they need.
We were insufferable for so long, weren't we? Oh, man.
Yeah. I still are, by the way.
I miss it. Yeah, I know. And listen, if you guys, by chance, many thoughts on this. Number one, spoiler alert, we will not be changing the title of this podcast anytime soon. And two, be careful, though, because the Eagles fans said the same thing. And, of course, they got their Super Bowl at the expense of the Patriots. And Troy Vincent, changing a couple of rules on the fly during the course of the Super Bowl. No big deal. No big deal. Of course, Belichick made the decision to bench Malcolm Butler in that game as well. So it should be seven rings in football things, be that as it may. But the Eagles fans said they just wanted one in a lifetime and they'd be good. And since then, once you get that one, once you get that sweet taste, once you just get that rush, you just want more and more. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's like, sex, pizza, a good buzz. No, I'll be fine after once. No, you won't. You're going to eat the whole pie. No, you won't.
Yeah.
No, it's never just, I'll meet the guys for one beer. No, you don't. No, you want, you're going to have multiple beers. You end up calling your wife. You end up taking an Uber, leaving the car there. I get it. It's all good, you guys. If you guys get that one, you're going to have to do something very special this year. You're going to have to take the lucky horseshoe that the Kansas City Chiefs stole from us 5 years ago and now seem to have buried underneath Gaha Field, whatever they call it. We still call it Arrowhead, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to go get that lucky horseshoe from Mahomes and from Andy Reid because everything bounced our way for two decades. And then Brady left and it's just been a death spiral since then. And, now Mahomes can do no wrong. They're winning games they have no business winning this year when it's clear to me that Josh Allen is your MVP. You guys have the most dynamic offense. Everything should scream, this is Buffalo's season this year. Yet you still have to go finally right the wrongs of 13 seconds and wide right last year and everything else that has plagued you guys this half decade because you're 5 years into running the AFC East, but you don't have that ring to show for it.
Yeah, that's right. Let me back up just for a moment. I was actually interviewed recently for a documentary literally titled Just One Before I Die. Like, that's what it's about here, right? But in that, and I said the same thing you did, Nick, which is Like they asked me what would happen if the Bills won. I said, you know, I think that there's such a romanticism to the chase that you don't know what to do after you get there sometimes. Right. And you guys had that there. And then all of a sudden it's really about staying on top. And now you're like, oh, the pressure to kind of continue to do what you're doing year after year. I mean, we do just want one. There's no doubt here. But obviously this is the window to do it. Josh Allen is the best player in the league. I believe he is the league MVP. I agree with you 100%. The Bills are playing really good football right now, but you're right. They're going to have to exercise those demons at some point with Kansas City. It most likely appears that they would have to do that. I'm glad that you brought that perspective from New England and watching from afar. You know, we sometimes have a little bit maybe forest through the trees here because we're so close to it. When you look at Josh Allen, when you look at what the Bills have built, you know, from your standpoint, are they truly like, you know, one of the elite teams? And is he truly the best player in the league, or at least this year playing like it?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, you could have just printed his name on the MVP trophy the moment that iconic shot. I think it is the photo of the 2024 NFL season when he threw the ball. Was it to Curtis Samuel? And then
Amari Cooper.
And then gets the lateral back and then lunges heroically towards the pylon. Like that right there, like make that the NFL logo. Like if Jerry West is the NBA logo, like right now, the NFL logo should just be Josh Allen lunging for the pylon. He's everything that's awesome about football. He's an absolute hoss. He's dating a superstar actress. He's a community leader. He can run like Elway. He can throw it like Marino. It's absolutely his time. And, I'll be honest. I've come into it with an agenda as well, because I don't want to see the Chiefs get their fourth and sure. Start inching closer. So imagine this. This is the emotional conundrum that a Patriots/New England fan is in right now. We would rather see the Bills win than the Chiefs win. So you guys can finally get that one after you guys have been kicking our ass the last several years, just to prevent Mahomes from getting closer to Brady and the six rings as well. This is the state of affairs for us right now. And you talk about what it would be like to finally win that one and lose your identity. You know, I think nationally people kind of loved the Loserville mentality of Boston, you know, the 86 years for the Red Sox as well. Obviously the Patriots had won one 2.5 years prior to the Red Sox finally reversing the curse in 2004. We lost our lovable loser identity in Boston, and then we became the insufferables. Like we went from the hero to the bad guy. It's like that line in The Dark Knight: you either live long enough to see yourself die the hero or become the villain. And we became the villain for 20 years, and every good narrative has to have a villain. And we were those guys for 20 years, which made it so compelling to see the Patriots reach the mountaintop and either tumble down or succeed and make people hate them even more. Now we're off the map. Now the Chiefs are slowly becoming those guys, and it's up to Buffalo to do that. And I think the inevitable AFC Championship showdown that we're heading towards of Josh Allen having to, like, the Sox had to go to Yankee Stadium down 3-0 and stage the most improbable comeback, which is now highlighted in an awesome Netflix 3-part docuseries.
Yeah, thanks. I'm a Yankees fan, pal.
I'm a Red Sox.
Sorry, Sal. I know. Hey, by the way, Matt's a Red Sox fan. I will also tell you, though, Matt and I, now I don't know if Matt's hatred is as much as me. I grew up in the Adams division. It's double for me because the Bruins were always on top of the Sabres, right? So, like, now it's, you know, I mean, obviously the hockey team here is not good, but for a lot of people now it's the Maple Leafs because of the border and the division. That was not the case, as you know, Nick, growing up in the 80s. It was Adams division, Sabres and Bruins. And man, that's where a lot of the Buffalo sports hatred of the Boston sports fandom comes from.
Right. Yeah, but you know, our football team wasn't very good as well, and you didn't have a baseball team. So you end up looking downstate. You look across the Mass Pike, Matt, and becoming a fan of the Red Sox. Man, you guys must be like this. No wonder why this podcast works so well, because you guys are like a husband and wife that are like Ohio State and Michigan. The hate sex, the hate sex is awesome, and the bickering is nonstop. That's amazing.
Yes.
But yeah, you guys have to go to the way this works, the romantic angle, which will just make it all the sweeter for Buffalo, is that you guys have to go to Arrowhead and slay the dragon. Like you have to complete the hero quest and do that, and then get back, then get to the Super Bowl as well. Who you guys could potentially play in the Super Bowl, I don't know. Like last week, I mean, you went to the Bills went to Detroit and put up 49 points. This offense is unstoppable right now. You guys can do everything. Everything's working right now. It's fundamental football. And wasn't this supposed to be Buffalo's reset year? No. like getting rid of Steph Diggs. We got some Ewing theory action going on with Steph Diggs now. There, you know, some you lose Trey White on defense. You get rid of the safeties as well, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. So this was supposed to be the struggle, go 10-7, make the playoffs, and hey, in 2025 we'll be alive again. And instead, you guys are playing your best, most complimentary football, which makes it fun on the outside to watch. Also, I like people scoring, and we don't do that a lot.
Well, I think that's also part of the argument for the Josh Allen MVP debate, which seems to be like really blowing up over the last couple days, because the conversation is it Josh Allen? Is it Lamar Jackson? And my thought is always like, well, the Ravens have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, who's in the conversation, and everybody knew the Ravens were going to be good. People didn't think the Bills were even going to win the division, let alone be the Super Bowl contender. So I feel like that kind of ends the conversation. And Fitzy, like, quite frankly, here in Buffalo, Bills fans were terrified when Mac Jones was drafted, because it was like, oh no, that team can't get another franchise quarterback. And then we saw how that played out. Now, I am watching from a distance, right? So I only see bits and pieces of it, but it feels like the rookie Drake May experience has been pretty fun. There's a hint of Josh there, right? I'm not going to say he's the next Josh Allen, but you watch the highlights, you watch the tape, and you're like, yeah, he reminds me a little bit of the guy who plays in Buffalo. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And that was the primary question I wanted to ask you guys. And notice that we're 10 minutes in to a Buffalo versus New England game preview. Haven't talked about the game and probably don't need to as well.
Yeah,
because I opened up my FanDuel a couple days ago, saw it was 14.5, and I was like, that's cute. yeah.
To your point, I do think the more of the storyline here isn't the game. More of the storyline is the direction of these organizations, right?
Yes.
And where and where each one is. So, yeah. So just referring back to Matt's question, I agree with that. And I've said, Fitzy, here on the radio, WGR Sports Radio 550, I think that he does look really good. But, man, the organization is kind of – now, you have time here, but kind of failed him by really surrounding him with the right people right now. And I think that's got to be the challenge. But you give us your take on it.
Yeah, 100%. And listen, is there a fan base – in the NFL that knows what it's like to wander the QB desert looking for your solution like Buffalo? I mean, for every Mac Jones that looks like he may be the part and then sputters out, and then we get involved in the Jarrett Stidhams and the Bailey Zappies and whatnot, like an EJ Manuel, a Trent Edwards, you know, who's the guy that threw 5 interceptions in the first quarter?
Nathan Peterman.
You forgot a Kyle Orton in there.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You forgot a Jeff Toole in there. You forgot a Tavares Jackson in there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And Tyrod Taylor, as he likes to be referred to now. Like, there have been so many people. It's not quite Brownsian, if you will, but it's definitely been an age. You got the guy. I think so. Way back at the beginning of the season on WEEI, we've been talking about how a successful season for the Patriots would be based around making sure you've got the quarterback. And Alex Van Pelt's his offense is extremely pedestrian. Oh, but to have somebody like Joe Brady talking about motion and creativity and all the things that are in the Buffalo offense. Van Pelt's offense is definitely a traditional boiled Irish supper of play calling. But the most important thing he's done is groomed Drake May very well and made him look like a solid professional quarterback. No one talks about his footwork anymore or hitching his delivery. You know, he's the leading rushing quarterback over the last 2 months in the NFL. He looks great. And I wanted to know from you guys, but you just sort of intimated that there are shades of Allen. There's essence of Josh Allen in there. And I think for Pats fans, it's great to see a quarterback that resembles the modern, intelligent, hyper-athletic quarterback that you kind of need to win in the NFL now. Like the day and age, I believe, of the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's and the Drew Brees is starting to ebb. And now you're getting these guys that have to be able to run, pass, and do a whole host of things. Drake May's great. People love him. It's just the rest of the operation right now is a complete mess.
Like, all right. So let me interrupt you and say this. So I think that you're hitting on a point that I think is so important. And I've said this, okay? I believe if Josh Allen was drafted by the New York Jets, he wouldn't be Josh Allen today. He might not be a bust, but he's certainly not going to be who he is today. If Sam Darnold had been drafted by the Bills, he wouldn't be Josh. He'd be a pretty good quarterback in this league. Look what he's doing now. Mm-hmm. Because the right organizational structure happened. The Bills had what NFL teams dream of, which is owner, GM, coach in line with a plan. That's Brian Daboll. They've been here all now. Obviously, Dable's gone, but for many years, for several years, for Josh's to start of his career. He had such continuity, structure, and he had a plan. They had the right people in place. So what you're saying is that's really the question, right? Do they have that right organizational structure to nurture this and bring it to where it has to be? I've seen it. Matt has seen it. We've seen it here after wandering the desert for so long, what it has to look like to get to that point. There's a lot of rumblings about Gerard Mayo. Could he even be out after 1 year? Mike Vrabel standing out there. People want to bring him back. Like, how does all that work with Drake May over the next couple of years?
That's literally the million-dollar question right now is, do the Patriots believe that Gerard Mayo, I mean, they Elliot Wolf, I hate to say it, as much as his pedigree may have screamed he would be a perfect executive vice president of player personnel. Why we have to get so foolish with these titles? Just call him the friggin' GM.
Right.
As GM, would he be able to surround him with the right veterans and draft pieces to start building up the offense to suit his talent and needs? And the draft has been saved for Drake May, who basically fell in their lap. They would have taken Jaden Daniels if he was three, or Drake May. They got Drake May. Save for that, our 2024 draft has been a tire fire, to put it nicely. Like, nobody can stay on the field. They passed on Ladd McConkey, which is a sin I will never forgive them for, trading out of 34 to get Jalen Polk at 37 and Javon Baker at 110. The two of them combined have 20% of the receptions and yards that Ladd McConkey has for the Chargers, and he's even missed some games due to injury. There is a shake in confidence right now in Elliott Wolf and the entire operation. Gerard Mayo continues to put his foot in his mouth, and he has to walk it back the next day on the radio when he does an appearance on WEEI. People think that the Crafts may be sort of marionetting or puppeteering things from up in the booth. There was that shot of them making notes and getting all mad and the histrionics there. They're all not on the same page. Like, we had that continuity. There was symmetry. It was Belichick's brain trust and Brady's on-field brilliance. And then you just surround them with some playmakers. And of course, we got a big dude from Buffalo who soyed Fiesta for a lot of years as well. And that helped. Now there's Drake. I call them the Matriots because it's literally Drake May. And we play a game on the Six Rings podcast and on WEEI, pick 10. You have to protect 10 players on the Patriots from like an expansion draft on this 2024 roster. And by and large, we get to like five or six. Like, the talent on this team is ghastly. Like, you got Christian Gonzalez, Drake May, and then maybe a couple other guys would make other NFL rosters, let alone start. Like, our entire offensive line is going to likely be blown out next year. Like, and you guys see how important that is to have continuity, health, and some hosses on the offensive line. We're worried about, are these guys the right guys to draft players around him, land some studs, find a Khalil Shakir, who I loved in the fifth round. What a playmaker that guy's turned into. A James Cook, and now that your defense is getting healthy again as well. Like, there's a reason. I know no one's ever going to feel bad for us guys, obviously. But there's a reason people are on end and nervous in New England right now, because I don't know if they're them.
Can I ask you one question about the game? Because I am genuinely curious. I did the same thing. I opened up the app and I saw the line and I'm like, oh my gosh, 14.5 points. That's absurd in an NFL game. But at the same time, I also remember the Bills last year going to New England and losing, and they were huge favorites in that game as well. How do the Patriots win? That doesn't necessarily mean this game, but when they have won games this year, how have they done it, and what would they need to do to come to Orchard Park and get a win?
Oh, man, it's been so long since we've won, I actually almost forget. Right. I mean, the funny thing is, the Patriots were one of those teams that it felt like if they flipped a lot of the one-score games, they would be a little bit better. But I don't want to get duped into thinking that this team is good enough to only make some minor or cosmetic changes in the offseason. Like, if they blew out the wide receiver room entirely, I'd be fine with it, starting with overpaying for T. Higgins to try to get that. Look at what a difference an alpha receiver made in the development of Josh Allen. Once you saw in 2019, like, hey, look what he's doing with John Brown and this cast. Like, what if we get him a Steph Diggs or a true number one? Then you take that logical next step. For the Patriots to win on Sunday, Alex Van Pelt would have to take all of the game plans that he's had this entire season, throw them out the window, and just say, all right, we're not going to do run, run, pass, be very traditional about it. We're just going to let the kid go. And you know, he's probably going to throw three picks, but we'll see if he can just grip it and rip it and get into a shootout. There's no other way. The Patriots, early on this season, we thought their identity was the team that went into Cincinnati week one and beat the Bengals 16-10. Mm-hmm. They dragged the Bills down to their own hell, the Bengals, got in a street fight with them, and they proved to be the tougher team that day. And that's who we thought they were going to be all season. Then, you know, at the end of the Seattle game, they kind of fell apart. They've lost their identity since, and nobody knows exactly what the team is besides the team with the coach that can't get out of his own way and Drake May. So for the Patriots to keep up with you guys, the defense would have to be willing to just play the most physical, aggressive, you know, damn the torpedoes, go ahead and call us for roughing multiple times type of game. And they'd have to let Drake May put it in his hands and say, okay, kid, street ball, go get it.
You know what's funny? The Bills did that exact same thing Josh's rookie year on the road, week three against the Vikings. The Bills were 17.5-point underdogs. What? And Josh went on the road as a rookie, and they just let it loose. It was his second game. So the week before, they played the Chargers at home, and it was a very methodical, like, rookie quarterback, you're going to turn around, you're going to hand it off, and whatever. The Bills' defense balled out in Minnesota that week, but Josh just made some ridiculous... That was the first time he hurdled in the NFL over linebacker Anthony Barr, and everybody was like, who the hell is this dude? And I feel like, going back to the Drake May comparison, I think there's a misconception around a lot of the NFL that Josh Allen kind of arrived a couple years ago, but there were flashes as a rookie and then really as a sophomore, like, this guy's going to be really good. And I feel like I get the same sense with Drake May, but it all comes down to, like, you need to get him an offensive line. You need to get him a couple and, like, maybe more than anything, a competent coaching staff. Like, that might do more than any personnel moves that they can make.
The story of the 2024 Patriots will ultimately be, hey, they got their next quarterback. This is not just some Mac Jones facade. Mm-hmm. He's played well in the cold. He's played well outdoors. He plays well indoors. His talent travels everywhere. Like, we know we've got a dude that they can build around. But the story to me of the 2024 Patriots may be that they did the rookie coach such a massive disservice by, you gave him a first-year player personnel guy, an offensive coordinator who's been an offensive coordinator in title only before, but Van Pelt's never really run the show. He's been with Stefanski and with others, but, like, it's really his show this year. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a rookie offensive coordinator, a rookie defensive coordinator, a new wide receivers coach, a new special teams coach. You've done a lot of podcasts before, Sal, with our pal Tom Curran from NBC Sports Boston, right? Mm-hmm. Tom Curran suggested this week that maybe if you're going to keep these guys here for one more year to see if Jerod Mayo and Van Pelt and everybody is worth it, so you don't screw up the development track of Drake May, give him his third offensive coordinator in 3 years going from college, NFL, that maybe they need some sort of football overlord, somebody like when Parcells was in Miami or whatever, somebody to just help the organization, like, here, put a big football brain up in the booth and tell everyone how they should run things, because I think everyone is scrambling and trying to learn right now. And you worry that some of that confusion and mistrust is going to bleed into Drake May's game. Luckily for you guys, with some there was minimal change. You had McDermott the whole time and Brian Daboll, who just did if you guys ever win a Super Bowl, I almost feel like you should send him a ring just for the incredible work that he did helping Josh Allen develop and, like, setting him up for success.
No doubt. And I mean, he's from Buffalo too, Brian Daboll. So, you know, he's very much beloved here in the city. He grew up here, went to high school here. And, you know, so he's a big part of kind of what they've built here in Buffalo. I want to go back to your comment about the little draft you guys have. It's so funny. Yesterday in the media room, Matt, I don't know if you heard the conversation we were having in the back. I said to our buddy Josh Reed and Dan Fates, I said, if you were to just draft Bills and Patriots players, how many Patriots would go in the top 20 on these two rosters, right? Oh. And we got to Christian Gonzalez, Christian Barmore, and there weren't many. I mean,
no.
I'm not trying to be mean, but yeah, they're just devoid of so much talent. And I'm sure there are a couple guys there, but holy cow, Fitzy, like, that just speaks to what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's brutal. Like, Barmore's great, but he's still, like, he's just basically finished his preseason because he was out for most of the year with a blood clotting issue. At the end of last year, he was dominating. I mean, he was awesome, super disruptive. Barmore, Gonzalez, obviously you're going to take Josh Allen over Drake May just because Josh Allen is the MVP. But I can't tell you anyone else. I wouldn't take any of our receivers. I wouldn't take the backs, nobody on the line. You know, and you can't make the injury excuse that long. Where the Patriots have felt the loss of Belichick has been in the defensive game planning and all of that organizational brilliance that went on behind the scenes. You know, it's sad that they decided internally that we, in order to get rid of this general manager who's had all these bad drafts and not set the organization up for future success, they have to part ways with his coaching brilliance. And now he's off at UNC, which, by the way, in Buffalo, does that look weird?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very weird.
Right? It is very weird. But still, at the same time.
Hey, I'm just waiting. Listen, I'm a Syracuse guy. I can't wait till Fran Brown kicks his ass in the Dome next year, okay? That's all I want.
Man, I had no idea you're a Syracuse guy, too. Yeah. Jeez, man. Well, you won a national title 20 years ago.
That's
But, like, yeah, no, Chapel Bill will probably be a lot of fun to watch. And there's going to be a ton of UNC fans in New England as well. But there's just not somebody who knows. There's just not somebody who knows football the way Belichick did. And they're suffering from a significant brain drain this year. So can they get somebody to smarten all these guys up in the offseason and protect Drake May? That's one of the many huge questions that are on the table for the Pats.
Fitzy, I saw this unbelievable tweet yesterday from this guy who covers the Bills. I think his name is Sal Capaccio or something. And he was talking about all of the teams.
Oh, that hack?
Like, yeah, that guy. Where they rank as far as like injured reserve is concerned. And the Bills have the fewest players in the NFL currently on injured reserve. Now, the Lions, the Bills' last opponent, is like ridiculous. They've got 21 guys on injured reserve. I know the Patriots, like every other team, have kind of dealt with injuries this year. But how has that progressed and what does that look like this weekend?
On offense, we don't really have any significant injuries to speak of, besides the fact that the offensive line has just been a, you know, a musical chairs rotation. Like the Patriots may ultimately set the NFL record for the most starting offensive linemen. It's 14 in a season. We may actually get past that by the end of the season, which is bananas as
That's wild.
It is. And their offseason, all I want them to do once they get with that $135 million is just T. Higgins, fat guy, fat guy, fat guy. Just just get fast and get thick. That's all I want. Just trench beef ahoy, guys. Yeah. As far as the injuries, on the defensive side, like I said, Barmore's still playing back into shape. You lost Jabril Peppers for half a season for the domestic altercation that led to an arrest. He's back on the team, so he's playing back into shape. Kyle Duggar has been a shadow of his former self as well. His ankle injury has slowed him down two steps. You know, Christian Gonzalez has been dynamite, and they look like they have an absolute stud at cornerback one. The other side is fine. The biggest loss that's been felt all season, though, has been whoever would have thought that the green dot wearing middle linebacker, who is kind of a throwback size. You guys understand losing a middle linebacker, like it throws the whole deep. It's like it's like losing your big toe. All of a sudden, you have no balance and your equilibrium's thrown off. Juwan Bentley has been missed sorely. They lost him to a torn pec after week one. He was the signal caller, the best tackler on the defense, and made sure everyone was in the right place. And they've been scrambling to find someone to replace him. So that's another one of the big losses.
I saw Marcus Jones is on the injury report. He didn't practice on Wednesday. Yeah. We know him from when he actually had that touchdown on offense against the Bills a couple of years ago.
Our discount Travis Hunter. I know. We keep yelling like, he and Marcus Jones got two offensive plays this year because he texted Alex Van Pelt. We keep yelling on the radio like, just text Van Pelt this week, for God's sake. Get in there.
By the way, we love Alex Van Pelt here. He was a really great backup for the Bills, and then he was on the radio broadcast. He was before I was. I'm on the Bills radio broadcast, but he was actually the color analyst on the radio broadcast before, you know, he went into coaching.
Oh, he really seems like a great dude. Yeah. Like, if I could pick one Patriot to have a couple beers with, I think it would be Van Pelt. He seems like a total dude.
You would pick the right guy. All right, so Matt has to jump off here in a minute, so I'm going to give you a chance, Fitzy, before we let you go, and I just kind of give Bills fans an update on their injury situation, a chance to ask us and specifically Matt any question about the Bills for your listeners here on the Six Rings and Football Things podcast.
All right, so you guys told us that you thought there were shades of Josh Allen and Drake May, so that gives Patriots fans, we got to find something to help us sleep at night, because all the beers and gummies aren't getting the job done, guys.
What do you guys think
when you've said you see some signs of duress? Do you guys, when you see the fact that our organization is teetering and Mayo and everything else, do you guys see a certain era of Bills football right now in our coaching staff and organizational issue? And do you think it would be wise for the Patriots to flush everything now and go get a Vrabel if he is available? Because there are reports that he is potentially interested in coming back with a Josh McDaniels. And would that cause you guys concern?
Yeah, I think I would be more concerned from a Bills standpoint if that's what they did. But the thing I would say is different from the parts of the Bills drought where you guys are right now is that it looks like you do have your quarterback in the future. There were very few times in the Bills drought where it felt like they had a young quarterback that they could build around, and especially a guy that is so uber talented, right? Like when we say we see shades of Josh Allen, or we see shades of, you know, Drake May has, you know, some of those attributes, it's arm strength, it's escapability, it's doing things when the play breaks down and not having to be on script all the time. Like, obviously, we both cover the AFC East and everything. And, like, you see what Tua is able to do. And when Tua is healthy and everything is going great, he's good. But the minute a play breaks down, there is no, like, off script, and that's when you know that you can beat them. It feels like Drake May is one of those guys that when the script breaks down, he can go make a play. So from my vantage point, I would be like, hey, you know Vrabel is a good coach, right? You know McDaniels is a good coach. Why not just do that with the young quarterback and then, like you said, get thick and get a bunch of speed, and I feel like you're kind of already ahead of the curve. The one thing I'll say from the Bills' vantage point, a couple years ago with the whole Mac Jones thing, I think Bills fans were always concerned of like, oh no, the Patriots are going to get their next quarterback and they're going to once again like figure this out. I feel like Bills fans now just understand how good Josh Allen is, that I don't think they're concerned about the Patriots leapfrogging them. I think they're more concerned about the Patriots being just a much more competitive, competent opponent, more of like a pain in the neck as opposed to like, oh, that's going to be a team that you think is going to leapfrog you in a couple
of years. And that's all I want. It's so difficult to get my own kids to sit through a Patriots game these days because like they're just not fun to watch. Yeah. All we want after all the glory and all the roses and the days of wine and honey and milk and everything, we just want a competitive football team that represents that blue collar hard ass mantra of New England and Boston sports that makes us proud and is fun to watch, as opposed to feeling like it's colonoscopy prep or like another day on, you know, another day in the trenches. And it's really not fun watching the Patriots right now. And last question for you guys. I think the Bills win probably by like 20, like 37-17, maybe, you know, or like 40-20. It's an easy cover, probably in the over as well. But one player on offense and defense, not named Josh Allen or Matt Milano, that Patriots fans should keep their eye on as a pain in the ass or like a playmaker on Sunday.
Ooh, that's a good one. Sal, you can start, and then I'll pick two people that you don't pick.
I'll say Khalil Shakir on offense. He is wide receiver one for the Bills, even though he's not a typical wide receiver one, Fitzy. Like, he is their number one wide receiver, and he just does so much so well, right? The guy catches the ball. He's a pinball when he hits people and just stays up, and he's great with the run after the catch. And if you don't have somebody in the slot that's really capable, you're going to get killed by Khalil Shakir in the slot, right? I mean, that's just what's going to happen. On the defensive side, I'll go right to the slot again, but you guys know him very well. It's Taron Johnson. Taron Johnson makes this defense tick. He's such a good player. He really is. And I mean, he's an all pro, and he's been in this league a while, but man, the Bills play a lot of nickel. It's because even if you big boy them, they're not taking small Taron Johnson off the field because he's so physical and he's so damn good.
For me, it'll be on defense. It'll be Christian Benford, one of their cornerbacks. He is the best player a lot of people have never heard of. He is going to probably be the next guy in the Bills that gets a massive contract. He is legitimately a lockdown cornerback and might be, I know this is crazy considering how good Gonzalez looks, how good Sauce Gardner is. There's a lot of great corners in the division. This guy is in the conversation with both of them, and he was the sixth round pick out of Villanova, which is bananas. And then on offense, I would say it's probably Ray Davis. He's one of their running backs. He was a draft pick this year. They have a rotation of the three, and it feels like each week a new guy kind of takes the secondary role behind James Cook. One week it's Ty Johnson, one week it's Ray Davis. So I feel like there could be a healthy dose of Ray Davis this week. And actually, the four players that Sal and I just said kind of speaks to what you were talking about the difference in like drafting and stuff. Sal talked about Taron Johnson, who was a fourth round pick, and you talked about Khalil Shakir, who was a fifth round pick. I talked about Christian Gonzalez, who was a sixth round pick. Christian Benford, who was a sixth round pick. And then Ray Davis, who was a fourth round pick.
It's amazing.
The Bills have missed on a few early picks, but have been so unbelievably impressive in their middle rounds. Like one of the other guys, this is just bananas. The year they drafted Josh Allen, in the fifth round that year, they also drafted Wyatt Teller and then eventually traded him to the Browns. And now he's an all pro guard.
Like, unbelievable.
Like one of the misses there was a guy that turned into an all pro, and it's only a miss because they traded him away.
And I know you got to go, Matt. Let me just leave you with two nuggets, one that's hopeful for Pat's Nation and one that'll be hopeful for the Bills Mafia. I keep telling people that what do the Patriots need to do to turn things around? They need to have a 2021 Detroit Lions draft, because that year they got Penei Sewell, they got Aleem McNeil, and then they got Amon-Ra St. Brown. And that was a defensive stud, an offensive line stud, and then a huge receiver. And he was even in the fourth round as well. So that's what we keep having to hope for. And back in the Belichick days, we used to grab guys in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round that were impact players. And for you guys, you mentioned that you have the lowest number of guys on IR this season. When this podcast would have been called Five Rings in Football Things, it was 2018. The Patriots pivoted late season to become a power rushing team because the passing offense wasn't working. And the truth behind it all was that was the year they had nobody on IR as well. And the same five dudes played every single game from the kickoff of the season, box to wire, all the way to winning 13-3 in Super Bowl 53 on the offensive line. That stuff matters. It really does. So if there's anything that'll, give you guys a little comfort that maybe this is your year, it should be the health and lack of IR. So I can't believe I'm pumping your tires.
No, it's all good. Hey, I have a message for Patriots fans, and then we're going to let Matt go. I promise. Here's the deal.
Yep.
You asked before about, what would you do? And I have a little bit of a different spin than Matt. I remember, I am a continuity guy. I do believe that, you can't bail too early, right? You have to.
Right.
I've seen it, how it works. You have to build it. I remember what, I think it was Art Rooney had said about, or Dan Rooney said about Mike Tomlin years ago when they hired him. He was just a young coach. And they said, how did you find Mike Tomlin? Like, that's amazing. And you only had three coaches. He said, we decided we were going to hire the smartest young guy we could and surround and support the hell out of him. And I think if you, that's the number one question you have to decide. Is Jerod Mayo a really smart young guy who's going to learn from mistakes, and he's going to be the guy that you can surround him with a really good staff, really good people, and build? And if the answer is no, then fine, go get Mike Vrabel. But if the answer is yes, keep him there and surround him with good people who can help elevate him, because eventually he'll be that guy that you say, he can be the head coach. That would be my advice to how they would have.
One more Matt Bove comment here. I think from the outside looking in, the Patriots are on a much better track, they're on a better path for sure than the Jets. Yeah. And for the Dolphins, I feel like they're just kind of stuck in mediocrity. If I was going to pick a team, right, that I thought could be the real pain in the neck for the Bills the next couple of years, I think the Patriots have a better chance of that than either of the other two teams in the division.
Before I go to bed every night, I always say to myself, well, at least we're not the Jets. All of us can say that as well. And I'm glad you guys didn't check my Madden rating out before the podcast today.
I love it.
Let's get a Woody Johnson burn in there, boys. We still got it.
I love it.
It's incredible.
Well, listen, it's the Six Rings and Football Things podcast, a part of the Odyssey Network. You can find Nick Fitzy Stevens there. And they are going to be talking about the Bills and the Patriots this week as we are here on the Crossover Pod. It's always game day in Buffalo. I'm going to let both you guys go, and I'm going to just give Bills fans an update on injury reports and things like that as we roll into our Thursday, and of course make a little more fun of the Diana Russini article, and not her, of course, on the New York Jets. So thanks a lot, guys. Matt, unless you go, Matt, I'll see you a little bit later. And Fitzy,
practice.
Be good, buddy.
Good time, we'll good do time, Sal. Take again, it easy buddy. On a Sunday, and best of luck getting that chip this year, boys.
All right, but we expect about 12 degrees on Sunday, by the way, everybody, okay? Because it's going to be really, really cold at Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park. Real quick, the Bills yesterday, Wednesday, had their first injury report of the week. 12 guys on the injury report. So that's kind of a lot, right? But let's take a look at it, right? On the injury report, let me just get it and say it for you real quick so that I get it right here. Six of them limited, six of them full participants. So out of 12 players, zero were non-participants. The Bills, everybody on their active roster participated in practice in some way, shape, or form. That includes the three guys who missed last week, the three secondary players, safeties, Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp, cornerback Rasul Douglas, all limited. And then also the three players who left the game with injuries, Matt Milano with the groin, Dorian Williams with the elbow, and Curtis Samuel with ribs. And that being said, I think it's very encouraging because yesterday, Wednesday, as we talk here, was a walkthrough, which means it's an estimated injury report based on what would be if it were a full practice for everyone. We'll keep an eye out on Thursday. It'll be a more of a full practice. I'll be headed down there. Matt will be there, or somebody from WKBW as well. Okay. Also, real quick, as I'm talking to you, The Bills have re-signed Casey Tuhill to their practice squad and have released Ili Anku. So very interesting move right there. Not one that is totally unexpected with the re-addition of Casey Tuhill after he was released. And I think that's because Javon Solomon's been playing really well, or at least showing that he can handle snaps on the defensive side. But a little surprised and a little, you know, disappointed for Ili Anku, to be quite frankly. This is a guy that's been around and he's really helped the team when he's been called upon. But right now it feels like they just don't have enough room numbers wise for Ili Anku. And that's why that probably happened right there. So that's a move that the Bills made. All right. We will head straight to Orchard Park today for more Bills and Bills practice. And then, of course, the Patriots game on Sunday. Remember, it was flexed to a 4:25 p.m. start. We'll have the game on, of course, the Odyssey Network, WGR Sports Radio 550, the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, I should say. Also, real quick, yeah, the Diana Rossini piece, The Athletic, which she was in collaboration with some people at The Athletic on it, on the New York Jets. It's fascinating. And there's actually an anecdote in there about Mike White, who plays for the Bills now, and a way in which Woody Johnson treated him after a game that he played for the Jets a couple of years ago. I'm not going to spoil it, but I want you to go read it because it was striking. And I'm like, this can't be right. But it was, because even, I guess, apparently Woody Johnson apologized to Mike White for what he had said after a game. So go read it. It's fascinating. Yeah, the Madden rating stuff. Oh, my God. What are we doing here, right? Based on the owner doesn't want to pull for a trade. He didn't want to trade for Jerry Jeudy because his Madden rating wasn't high enough. That's how he's evaluating people. It's pretty crazy stuff. Let's just thank goodness that we are not in that situation here in Buffalo. We have what I think is the MVP, and he should be the MVP. And I've said it this week. You can old take, expose me all you want. Josh is the MVP, because if he doesn't win it, then that's not a me problem. That's a voter problem. That's ridiculous. Josh Allen's the MVP. 3 more weeks left. Hopefully the Bills get through this one, the next one, the one after that. And maybe we'll see, depending on how things go Saturday and then on Christmas Day, how the Kansas City Chiefs do, if the Bills are still in line for a possible chance at the one seed. In the meantime, thanks a lot for joining us here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. You can find us, as always, wherever you pod, on audio and, of course, on video on the Sal Sports YouTube page. Thanks a lot to Nick Fitzy Stevens for joining us here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. And you can also catch Six Rings and Football Things on the Odyssey Network as well.